I think I did it, didn't I? Yes, I did. I hear myself. There are a lot of people gone. But the people who are here, I've heard it said, are the best of the group. Right? No. Don't let my wife know I said that. My beautiful blonde assistant's going to help me out today. Didn't get the songs in time. That's not my fault. Something to do with the song leader. So if I mess you up, it's not your fault, it's my fault. I'm going to talk about worship this morning. I love the things that were said by the men who led prayers and comments that they had. Talking about worship. And as I talk about worship, I'm not going to be talking about just Sunday morning type, Sunday night. I'm going to talk about your everyday private devotionals, time that you're alone with God, worshiping Him. But in particular, I'm talking about Sunday morning, I suppose. But I'm not going to tell you how to worship. There are so many books today written about worship, and so many books advocating change, some advocating no change, some let's leave it like it is, some let's do something else. Have you ever been sitting where you're sitting during worship and said to yourself, gee, I wish everybody did it like me? You know, then we'd all be happy and joyful and all of that. That happens a lot. I have found myself in a position saying, wow, if everybody was like me, wow, we'd just raise the roof. You know? I'm not going to get into specifics this morning about hand raising or about clapping hands or new songs, old songs, NIV, or the one that God wrote, the New American Standard Version. I'm not going to get into any of those discussions. That's not where I want to go. I'm not going to talk about, you know, sometimes you'll hear someone say, there are five acts of worship and we must do each of those. And I'm not going to argue with that. I believe there's at least six. Anybody here ever heard of meditation? Look it up in the scriptures. You know, we could go on and talk about all kinds of things. I don't want to change necessarily what you believe about worship. You know, should we do this and do this and do this? Should communion come before or after the sermon? Or, you know, we could just go on and on, right? Ever been in one of those church feuds? I hate to admit it. If there's anybody that's not a member of the church sitting here, we do occasionally as a family have discussions that get kind of heated about certain things, but I don't want to go there. What I want to talk about, ready? I want to talk about joy. I can do something about being joyful in worship. You know, whether you get it right, whether you get the mechanics right or not, sometimes doesn't, now don't get me for this, but sometimes doesn't matter. But looking out at the audience, when you're leading songs, leading prayers, preaching, or just sitting where you're sitting and shouldn't be looking around. To see people looking like somebody died and didn't make it to heaven. And I'm not saying we need to have some giddy grin on our face or something like that that makes us, yeah. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying I didn't say your neighbor. I said I can do something about being joyful in worship. I, notice that's a personal pronoun, I should accompany my physical actions with mental work. Got that? You know, it's not just coming in here, I'm going to sing some songs, I'm going to listen to some prayers, I'm going to listen to some sermon. I'm going to do some work while I'm here. I'm going to do some mental work while I'm here. I'm not going to let somebody just stuff something in my head and not think about it. I'm going to work at worship. You ever heard somebody say that? I'm going to work at worship. I'm going to work at what I'm hearing, at what I'm seeing. Proverbs 6, verse 9. This is through verse 11. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. But while he sleeps, poverty will attack him like an armed robber. You've probably heard that one before, right? Okay, a little sleep, a little slumber. I'll just take it easy. I'll just kind of let it go by the wayside. And when I wake up, I'll take care of it. Well, while you're sleeping, poverty hits you. And that's where I'm going this morning. Spiritual poverty comes from spiritual laziness. Did you hear me? If you walk out of here impoverished spiritually, it's not my fault. It's not Tim's fault. It's not Terry's fault. Whoever leads the prayer, it's not their fault. If you walk out of here impoverished, it's because you're not putting something in to what you just heard. Y'all hear that? Boy, you're quiet out there. You got such solemn looks on your face. Good. I want you to understand this is important. 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. The Apostle Paul in verse 15 says, what am I to do? Oh, I know. I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Catch it? Paul says, what am I going to do? Oh, here's what I'll do. When I'm at worship, whether it be individually, locked in my closet, or with my brothers and sisters, when I start singing a song, I'm going to think about the song that I'm singing. Oh, I'm not talking about just how beautiful the melody is. I'm talking about thinking about the words. When I pray, I'm not going to just blab out some prayer that I know from, you know, childhood. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake. That one always scared me. Mom? Am I going to, you know, if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Okay, that's beautiful, I suppose. But have you ever thought about it? Do you ever think about what you're praying? Do you ever think about what you're singing? Or do you think more about, wow, Tim got that too high? No offense, Tim. Paul says, I'm going to sing and pray. Think about the prayer that you're leading or hearing. Think about it. Think about the prayer that you're leading or hearing. Now, in this case, men, when you get up to lead a prayer, I want you to think about your prayer. It may be one that you've been praying for the last, and I'm not picking on anybody, just listen. It may be the one you've been praying for the last 30 years. But think about it. Is it the one that's necessary at this time? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Just had an earthquake and 150,000 people killed in India. That's a supposition. I mean, no. Okay? And somebody saying we need to send relief and we need to do this, and we've got churches over there that have been devastated and knocked down, and the guy gets up and says, have you heard it before? You know what I'm talking about? Think about what you're praying about. Think about the moment. Think about what needs to be said, not what you learned from childhood. Now, I'm not against childhood prayers, but think about it. Think about it. And do you listen to prayers? I mean, do you really listen to somebody's prayer? Do you hear what that person is saying? Run it through your mind. Do some mental work. How beautiful that is, that that man is saying, those people need help. Let's send it to them. How, do you understand? We need to be thinking about it. Think about the song you're singing or leading. I mean, not did you get it on key? That would be nice. That would be beautiful. Not is it too high or too low? It would be nice if it was just in the perfect spot. But think about the words of the song. As we were singing this morning, did you all notice all the talk about worship? Go back over the songs. Look them up. Okay? I didn't plan that. You know what? When God's involved in stuff, there's a lot of coincidences take place. Have you ever noticed that? Huh? I say that sarcastically. There are no coincidences. God knows what He's doing. But did you listen to the words that you were singing? Did you hear what you were saying? I said I wasn't going to tell you how, the hows of it, but I am not. I'm in favor of a cappella music during worship, corporate worship of the church. If you want to talk to me about that afterwards, fine. We'll talk about it, okay? That's what I like to see, and that's what I believe the Lord wants. But I say that for this reason. One reason. There's a lot of reasons, but one reason in particular. Anybody know who Kenny G is? Okay, anybody know who Peter White is? Jazz guitarist. And I could go on naming a bunch of these guys that play beautiful, what the industry calls smooth jazz. I love to listen to it. Beautiful. I listen to 105.9 here in town, The Wave. Okay, I like that kind of music. But if someone came into our worship who did not know God, and who did not know what was going, you know, what normally goes on, and Kenny G was up here playing, and Peter White was playing guitar with him, that person might leave here and said, music was awesome. Well, what did you get out of it spiritually? Well, nothing. I don't even know what the song was about. On the other hand, if you and I are sitting in the audience, and we're singing, Jesus loves me, like we mean it. Do you recognize that when people come in here, they judge you not by the songs that you sing, but whether or not you believe it? You're going to look around, they can look around and say, well, he's really not into that. They can tell. People can tell. We need to be in to what we're singing. John 4, verse 24. Says, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Yeah, we got to do it the right way, and I believe there is a right way as far as the mechanics maybe go. Okay, I do. I believe that. And again, I'll be glad to discuss it with you sometime. But we're not concerned with just the truth. We're concerned with spirit. So when I leave this building, I want to feel like I've been with God. Not just my brothers and sisters, but that I've been with God. Somebody's going to say, well, He's with you all the time. Yes, but this is a special time. My worship times is always special. All of our worship must come from the heart. And I might add, along with that, we should not be looking around to see if everybody else is doing it right. In loving God, y'all love God? In loving God, we are to give our all. Isn't worshiping Him a part of loving Him? Isn't it? And we need to give our all in worship. And And again, I'm not talking about somebody running up and down the aisles, fainting, swaying with the music, raising hands, whatever you do. I'm not talking about that. If you do it, I don't want to go there. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about giving Him my all, whether it be with my money, with my time, if the preacher preaches a little longer, you know, in listening to prayers, in hearing the words of prayers that are going up to our Heavenly Father. Y'all got what I'm saying? Worship has to be me giving it my all. Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Catch that? Every bit of me has got to be given to Him in worship. Every bit of me. Colossians 3, verse 23. "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men." Whatever you do, he says. Now, doesn't whatever you do include worship? And did you notice he says work heartily at it? Work at worship. There's a radio show called White Horse Inn. It is a direct offshoot of a group of people who are working towards biblical renewal. I mean, people wanting to get back into the Word of God and so on and so forth. Michael Horton is one of the men who is with that group. And he watched, and I'm not picking on anybody, but he said he watched one day as their worship group with their guitars and drums and so on and so forth were up leading the congregation. And he talked to his men who were doing that and spoke to them afterwards. And one of them came out. I should rewrite it or reprint it for you, give it to you. One of them came out with a lesson meant for everybody in the congregation, but in particular his worship team. And the title of it is, "Men, We Are Not Rock Stars." I say that for this reason. So often, our attention, and it's good that we're focusing on words, but so often our attention is on the preacher, not his words. So often our attention is on the guy leading the song and not his words. So often, do you know where I'm going? You ever been there? You ever seen it? You ever done it? I listened to one preacher who prays every time he gets up to preach, and a couple of the words that he says is, "And Lord, take me out of the way so that You might be glorified. You know, put me aside." And so often, even without guitars and drums, preachers and song leaders and so on and so forth become rock stars. We glorify them more than we're glorifying God. That wasn't part of my sermon, but I got it out. I can be dedicated to unity in the body of Christ. Whoa, wait a minute. What are you talking about, unity in the body of Christ in the middle of a sermon on worship? I'll tell you what it is. One of the quickest ways to kill joy is to cause dissension with a brother or a sister. Amen? Look at him over there singing like he's never done anything wrong. Who does he think he is? They asked him to say a prayer? Why, if they only knew what kind of guy he really was. And he's up there praying, looking down and saying, "Ha, ha, ha, I get to pray and you don't." You think that sounds childish? Aren't we childish sometimes? I'm not as old as Gene. Whew, I don't know too many people that are. George, yeah. Okay. But I've been around the block a few times, and I've seen it. I've seen it. I've lived through it. Philippians 2, verse 2, Paul says to the church there, "Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind." doesn't mean I like chocolate, you don't. We can't get along. Of course we can. That's not what it's talking about. Being of the same mind in Christ Jesus. The same mind. See the hands of those of you who do not love Jesus Christ. We got something in common, don't we? We love Him. He loves us. Philippians 4, verse 2. He had a problem there. He says, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche. They couldn't be Lucy and Ethel. They're easier to pronounce. But he says, I entreat you two to agree. How? In the Lord. You got that? Agree in the Lord. Verse 3, Philippians 4, 3. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Now, I want you to catch this. Paul says, you want to be joyful, you've got to help these two women work it out. Because it's going to bring joy in your life because in the Lord, you're going to get them on the right path again. I don't know what was said. I don't know the problem. I have no idea. But he says to Clement and the other workers there, he says, work together. Get these two women back together. See, it will not only help you as you work to get them back together, but it will, you know, get them back together. And then there can be joy. Did y'all know that the New Testament was written with no paragraphs and periods? Sometimes it's difficult to know where a person starts and stops. George Elkins, y'all remember in James where he made us work on that? Oh, that's awesome to work and try and figure out, you know, where the thought ends and where the thought begins. Okay? Don't just take periods for granted or commas or whatever it is. But I want you to catch this. And this is just me. If it ain't you, too bad. In Philippians 4, 2, and 3, he says, these gals have got a problem. Work with them. And then in Philippians 4, verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Is it just me, or is Paul saying, when you get it all together, when you work to help your brothers and sisters, then you can rejoice in the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? I can, I should say I must, understand that God is pleased with joyful worship. Hebrews 12, verse 28. There the Hebrew writer says, therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Y'all know, you've heard it said before, I'm sure. Y'all know who the audience is? It's not me. It's not you. It's God. It's God. And we need to be worshiping Him with reverence and awe. Now, I don't know about you, but when I worship God with reverence and awe, it puts a lot of joy deep down inside me to know that He even allows me to do it. To know that I can come before Him and worship Him in that way. Worship should be joyful because the Christian has every reason to rejoice. Well, you don't know my problems. No, you don't know mine. But I've got every reason to rejoice. Every reason to rejoice. Well, you must be rich. You got that right. I am. Filthy rich. My father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the gold in California. And I don't say that, you know, with my head stuck in the sand. Bad things happen to good people. Amen? But you know what? Good people are bigger than the situation because they've got a God they can depend upon. We've got every reason to rejoice. Worship is designed to be joyful. And Christians are in control of their joy in worship. Last week we talked about attitude. I'm almost done. Hang on. Last week we talked about attitude. Remember? Well, I'm going to make a suggestion that each of us brings our joy attitude with us when we come to worship. Okay? I mean, how can you help but be joyful when you're in the presence of the living God? How can you help but be joyful when you are in the presence of the one who shed his last drop of blood that you and I, miserable, rotten, here I go, worms, can live with him forever? You know, it's a good thing I ain't God. I'd be awful lonely, because I would have zapped every one of you a long time ago. It's good. And the sad thing is, somebody said, we were talking about, you know, if the whole world was like us. I said, you know what? If the whole world was like me, I'd kill every one of them. Now, that might sound kind of unjoyful, but you know what? You know what? I've got a God who looks at me and sees all of the bad that I've done, all of the miserable things that I have done in my life. And yet, because I love him and have chosen to follow him, as our closing song will say, to trust him, to obey him, because of that, he loves me. Wow. I don't know about that, about you, but that ought to make every one of us bring our joy attitude to worship. Amen. We close with these verses from Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God, and it is he who made us. And we are his, and we are the people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to his name. Bless his name. For he, the Lord, is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations. Got your joy attitude on? If you didn't have it when you came on in here, would you put it on now, at least for the rest of this time? And then every time you get in the closet with him, every time you're home alone singing, every time you're by yourself praying, whatever it is, would you do it with joy in your heart? Child of God, we've got a lot to be thankful for. If your life is not being lived the way that God would have you live it, perhaps it's a private thing. If it is, while we're singing this closing song, would you bow your head and ask God to forgive you? To put that joyful attitude into your life. If you're not a child of God, listen. Jesus died for you. But that joy that you can have because of that can only be complete when you trust him and obey him. If you have a need that you want to share with the church here, would you make it known by coming as we stand and sing?